What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I'm your host. And today we're talking about religious scrupulosity. That is very similar to OCD, and OCD, scrupulosity, often are seen as being the same thing. If you have forgotten, and I know you haven't, but just in case you did, I did an episode on obsessive compulsive disorder last summer. So that would be the summer of 2024. You can just Google Transformed and then the episode you're looking for. Oftentimes that's the fastest way to find those. But today I want to discuss religious scrupulosity, in part because Todd and I were discussing this, a lot of questions coming into Wretched and a few coming into Transform. Obviously Wretched's reach is much bigger than Transform's. And this is an article that came in, he and I were discussing it. I did a hot take on it on Fortis Plus, so you should go check out the hot take as well. But recently, ESPN published an article saying that Braden Smith talks about his struggle and what kept him from finishing the season last year. In the article, he is the offensive tackle for the Indianapolis Colts. He discusses what was keeping him out, and he said that it was this scrupulosity. He calls himself being physically present, but nowhere to be found, and even leading toward like suicidal hopelessness. The issue, as he was diagnosed with it, was religious scrupulosity. And according to the International OCD Foundation, religious scrupulosity differs from the healthy practice of religion because it's driven by anxiety over engaging in actions that might offend God or be seen as blasphemous. So this creates obsessive behavior, including constant prayer and repeated repentance that can begin to dominate a person's daily life. There was only one perfect person, Smith says, and that was Jesus. When you're trying to live up to that standard, actually living that out, it'll drive you nuts. So he ends up going to an inpatient treatment facility, and he's ultimately going to be prescribed psychedelics, not psychotropics, but psychedelics. He spent 48 hours in a treatment facility, but he claims that it's really the psychedelic drugs that helped save him. I'll talk about those here in a moment, but those are always mood-altering. You recognize that. That's always mood-altering. Never once do you take a psychedelic and it's just like a cup of coffee or relieving a little bit of pain. You may remember that in our Transform TV series, I counseled a couple of gentlemen who were very scrupulous. They were very concerned about their practices to ensure that they were not guilty. Tyler, if you just Google Transform Tyler was in the first season, and he was, he had these mannerisms that just seemed bizarre at the time. Tyler would be driving, and as he was driving, he would all of a sudden have this fear that he hit something or he hit someone. So he would have to stop and get out of the car and inspect his car to make sure that he hadn't hit anything. So that was really difficult because he can't travel. You know, just think of the challenges of Tyler having to get from point A to point B. He can't travel without thinking like, oh no, like what have I done? I've hit something. Personally, I was counseling a pastor from New York. Ooh, and this has been upwards of 9 or 10 years ago. And part of his preference was that he didn't want to communicate germs to anybody in his congregation. So he was very careful about not touching his nose in certain ways. He would always use the outer part of his arm to touch his nose. So just think about like, you would never just like wipe your nose. You would never itch your nose. You would never touch his shoe. If he washed his shoe, he had to get up and go clean his hands. because he didn't want anybody to get sick and to be hurt. Like, he didn't want to feel the guilt of that. Scrupulosity and religious scrupulosity, it often comes from this inflated view of, like, you are the one determining, a very low view of sovereignty and providence. In this particular instance, we talked about how God uses germs to help accomplish his purposes. That would be like an odd title for a sermon, wouldn't it? The purpose of germs in God's sovereign plan. But it's true. God uses germs and sickness to accomplish his purposes. And so I tried to remind the pastor of that. With Tyler, I don't know if we ever really broke through. You know, I had a couple of episodes on the actual TV series, but I don't think Tyler followed up with biblical counseling as best as I understand. What religious scrupulosity does is it obsesses about being guiltless. Fundamentally, that's what it is, an obsession about being guiltless. And there's a lot that goes into that, but wanting to not be guilty of X before the Lord, driving and hitting somebody, getting somebody sick, for Smith with the Colts, whatever compulsive thoughts driving him to repentance and to prayer all the time, like whatever desire for perfection there is, it's that you don't want to be guiltless. And if that's a propensity that you have as you're listening to this, that you have these really intrusive thoughts that are condemning you all of the time, the questions you're asking yourself should be, are you in an environment that is sin-focused as opposed to Savior-focused? And I do want to start with your church environment just to begin. Like, what does your pastor preach on regularly? Is it the attributes of God, the glory of Christ, the power of God's Spirit? Or is it don't do this and don't do that? And you may be surprised of how that actually weighs on you. Think of a wet blanket that you're just carrying with you of shame and guilt, because all you think about is the don'ts of the Scripture. And honestly, there are many don'ts. Our obedience is connected to our love for Christ, but we obey out of a position that is right with him. We're not obeying to be adopted into the family. So that when that starts to turn and you're just focusing on your sin, long-term, that's a burden to you. And you'll find that I've said this with OCD, I've said this with the sensitive conscience, you'll find that those that come from maybe a more legalistic background, that we, and I'm including myself in this, that we often struggle with this sense of guilt before the Lord. And I come from a fundamental Baptist church, a Bible-believing Baptist church brother from the South, and you better believe that in my undergraduate, a very conservative Baptist college, there was just 1,000 rules, and often they were associated with pleasing the Lord. You know, even things like wearing a tie to class, like that's honoring to the Lord. You're not a stumbling block for the weaker brother. So you got to just pause and say, hey, wait a minute. Is all of this scrupulosity because I'm in a sin-focused sanctification? Is your own sanctification tendencies to be rule-focused, sin-focused, or is it Savior-focused? Because I do think that if that's true, religious scrupulosity is just, it's about to come. It's about to come. How could it not in all reality? So when you come from a conservative religious background, you have a sensitive conscience, you have a sin-focused versus Savior-focused, guys, this is the result. What will happen is that you will begin to measure your day by, are you offending God or are you not? So I want you to have, how do we kind of turn the corner in religious scrupulosity? Well, number one, a 24-minute episode's not going to break you free of habits of thinking, but it can actually get you started. A 24-minute episode's not going to cure you in that way. I don't want you to think of transformed as healing you, but I do want you to think that, oh, it's helping me understand so I can start to pursue change and pursue it with people that really understand it. I think it's ironic that Braden Smith didn't actually get help with his religious scrupulosity. He got psychedelics. Seriously, psychedelics aren't help. They're treating the symptom. They're not treating the cause. They didn't change his view of God. They didn't change his focus and sanctification. That didn't happen. Rather, all it's doing is changing your body. So if you go to the wrong person, you're going to get the wrong solution. If you go to secular therapy, what do you think you're going to get? You'll get treatment, medical sounding labels, and some type of body medication. So here is the way that I would encourage you to start. remember back to all of our former episodes on Transformed. When you think about the mind, Romans 12, when you think about the mind is mentioned in Romans 12. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The mind is the source of your cognition and your thinking, not your brain, your mind is. So if that's true, where are these thoughts originating? Where do they first come from? They're coming from my inner person. I would be okay too if you wanted to say heart. I think the New Testament uses examples of heart. For instance, Hebrews 4:12, the thoughts and intentions of the heart, not the mind, is used there. So you could say heart, but we're talking about the immaterial heart. We're talking about your inner person. Where do these intrusive thoughts come from? Religious scrupulosity, where you're anxious over blaspheming the Lord, where does that come from? That comes from your inner person, your mind or your heart. So where does change then start? It's starting at the level of your inner person. Of course, we can restructure our environment. Of course, we need to rethink, like, there's certain sermons I may not need to listen to right now in this season of life. Yes, of course, but where does the change start? It starts inside of us. So let's do this. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, I'm going to pick up with, okay, change starts in us, so how do we practically keep moving forward? We'll be right back.
Back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. And you know what makes religious scrupulosity so devastating? It's because it feels righteous. You know, you're repenting constantly and you're calling it holiness, but underneath all of it, you're exhausted, you're miserable, and you're probably convinced that you let your guard down. Which is why I'm glad to tell you about a brand new resource that will be available extremely soon from Dr. Gifford. It is Lies My Therapist Told Me, available for pre-order right now at fortisinstitute.org/lies. This book is going to take the most common destructive lies from the world of secular counseling and hold them to the light of Scripture. And it exposes where they fail and show you how to think biblically about your thoughts and your emotions and your conscience. I highly recommend you pre-ordering it right now at fortisinstitute.org/lies. And hey, if you're not already using the Fortis Plus app, this is the perfect time to start. It's available to you absolutely free of charge. You're going to find hot takes and full episodes and TV segments. You can find it right now wherever you download your apps, or you can go to fortisplus.org. Here's the deal. This podcast, the app, the book, none of this is happening without gospel partners. That's right. Our ongoing monthly gospel partners. You make it all possible. For over 25 years, we've been committed to equipping the church with content that actually changes lives. And we need your help in order to continue doing that. 83% of every dollar you give goes right to the work of ministry. And if you believe Christians should be equipped with truth, not trends, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? FortisInstitute.org is where you need to go to find all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about what it would look like to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Now, first, make sure you're giving to your local church faithfully already. If you're not, don't give to this ministry. And also, don't be strapped by any kind of unmanaged debt. We don't want you to be a slave to the lender. But if those areas of your life are looking pretty good and you have the means to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be forever, eternally grateful. And while we're on the topic of biblical training, don't forget, Dr. Gifford teaches at the Masters University, TMU. They're not just producing graduates. They're producing biblically grounded men and women trained to think and to live and to serve with Scripture as their foundation. And right now, church and ministry scholarships are up to $20,000 per year and are available. You can find out more at masters.edu/transform. And now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We have been talking about religious scrupulosity. So thank you, Jimmy, for just your resources. Also, if you haven't already looked up Lies My Therapist Told Me, it is on pre-order and soon to be on sale. So make sure that you go grab a copy. And some of you are listeners, not readers, do the audiobook. I've spent a lot of time recording it, so it will be my voice as you listen to it. I don't know whether that encourages you or discourages you. You're like, never mind, Dr. Gifford. But I have recorded that. I almost said filmed that, but recorded that. So those are ready for you. And please share those. The more people that can be helped and really disentangled from the secular therapeutic, the better. Today, we've been addressing religious scrupulosity, where you're overly concerned about blaspheming the Lord. It becomes paralyzing. So you pick up all these compulsions and really acts of penance to be able to honor the Lord and be guilt-free in that way. I shared an article from ESPN talking about this. I also mentioned Tyler from Transform Season 1. But at the end of the day, where do our thoughts come from? Our thoughts come from inside of us. Our thoughts come from our immaterial person. So what's being transformed in sanctification? Your inner person. Remember that your brain is not the source of your thoughts. And you and I will be brain dead at a certain point, and yet our mind will continue to operate and we will continue to think. So just remember that. That's usually a helpful clarifying point for you. So if that is true, then let's go to 2 Corinthians. If that's true, then I have a hand in being sober-minded, and I have a hand in fighting for thoughts that are honoring to the Lord. If you remember your sanctification and the theology of sanctification, we do not believe that we just sit back and we let go and let God. That's not an accurate view of sanctification. In fact, oftentimes sanctification is communicated like a race or running, where there's focus, you're disciplining yourself. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, he's not like a boxer just beating the air. He's not a runner running aimlessly, but he disciplines himself. So this is the focus of our sanctification, Christ, and it's hard work. You have to discipline your thoughts. You have to discipline your inner person. You can't just let your inner person run wild. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." Have you thought about the fact that religious scrupulosity has a lot to do with your own mind life, your own thoughts and conscience condemning yourself? You have to take those wayward thoughts captive. You have to. You have to pin them in, Philippians 4:8. It's not honorable, it's not true, it's not just, it's not lovely, it's not pure. I am called to meditate on the opposite of these things. Guys, no one can change your mind, meaning I can't have someone else renew my mind. I wish they could, like I'd pay good money for that. Seriously, where's the subscription plan to have someone renew my mind for me? But that is not the way sanctification works. We have to battle our own thoughts, take them captive. And where would I start with the attributes of God? Behold his glory, and you will be transformed from one degree of glory to the next. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And where would I start in God's attributes? His mercy. 100% his mercy. As a believer, renew your mind with the truth that because of what Christ did for you, his imputed righteousness means God sees you the way he sees Christ, and you stand in his righteousness, an alien righteousness, Philippians 3. So God does not see you according to your sin when you are in Christ. So he is merciful to you. You can experience the mercy of God because of what Christ has done. Luke 6:36, God's merciful to everyone, so we're merciful. God reveals himself to Moses as being merciful. The psalmist speaks of him as abounding in mercy. Where should you start to renew your mind with the character of God? That he's merciful. That's first of all. Second of all, you really do have to retrain your conscience with the Word of God. And remember, if you have a Bible, go back to Romans 14. Remember that you never want to sin against your conscience. You want to retrain your conscience in what it detects a sin is. Do you see the difference? At the end of Romans 14, verse 23, it says, "But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin." And so a person that has religious scrupulosity, they're starting to cultivate a very sensitive conscience. This is not indicative of a mature conscience, but a sensitive one or a weak one. How do you retrain your conscience? You do that with the truth of Scripture. You need a more biblically informed conscience. We want people to take their conscience to the Word of God and attenuate it. The Word of God is the gold standard, and we're measuring everything else against the Word of God. So if the Bible does not call it a sin, then you don't call it a sin. Seriously, you have to fight that. If the Bible doesn't say that it's wrong to transmit germs, then you can't say that's a sin. If you did not intentionally hit something with your car, think back to Tyler in season one. You were not being malicious. You were being safe. If you did not intentionally, then that is not a sin, and you cannot call it a sin. That has to be in place in order to help you fight those compulsive behaviors. Guys, listen, and if you're struggling with religious scrupulosity, I want to say this as gently and as graciously, but as truthfully as possible. You're going to have to face your fear and not fulfill those compulsions. You got to stop and put those off. I mentioned habituation in the OCD episode, but you have to rehabituate yourself. Those practical steps of saying, I'm not going to wash my hands, and I'm going to get one opportunity to step out of the car and to double check things, but I'm not doing this 5 times in 10 minutes. It's not going to happen. What does that mean? You're doing that by faith. You're not double checking and triple checking. You're not re-repenting. If you begin to train your conscience, you'll have less things that you feel guilty over, and you'll let God's word truly be the authority that it was intended to be. But if you don't, then it'll feel like you have 100 things that continue to pop up. Either way, you're having to deny what you naturally want to do, which is those steps of penance. You have to. So you resist that compulsion. Now, my 2 cents, and this is about the psychedelics that was mentioned in the ESPN article. My 2 cents is that psychedelics are mood altering, and put these in the category of inebriation and intoxication. I did an episode on profanity and pot, and I'll share the principle with you here, which is that Ephesians 5:18, we as believers, we want to be controlled by God's spirit, not by substances. So if you're using psychedelics to deal with your anxiety, you're not dealing with the root of the issue. And I do think that that mood-altering state is becoming idolatrous to you. You're hiding. You're escaping. And then you're like, all right, well, Dr. Gifford, what about people who have their wisdom teeth removed and they go under for that or surgery? It's like, okay, but we're not trying to alter our mood because of anxiety and stress. We feel so much pressure, so that's why we're going under. No, you're going through a medical procedure and you're numbing the pain. You don't want to be awake for that. Now, the reality is that psychedelics, most of the time, are not legal anyway. So if you're abiding in a Romans 13 confine, then you're not taking psychedelics because you would actually have to break the law to do so. Wouldn't this be an irony that you're actually breaking the law so you feel better about not being guilty before the Lord? What? You're making yourself guilty before the Lord so you don't feel guilty before the Lord. If you're ever thinking like LSD, like think psychedelics, it's used for PTSD. Do we use those to alter our moods as believers? No, we do not. We face the problem biblically, and we use actual medical practices that are legal and honoring to the Lord. That's what we do. So the last thought that I'll give you is we don't want people, ourselves included, our goal is not to just feel less guilty. In fact, the Lord uses shame and guilt to cultivate repentance in us. So if your goal is to just not feel guilty before the Lord, that's not the right goal. Your goal should be that you're not guilty before the Lord and you're thinking accurately about that. If you just try to suppress that feeling of guilt, you may do so successfully, but you're not dealing with the root issue, which is maybe you are guilty before the Lord. It is my 2 cents that most people wrestling with religious scrupulosity, that's not them. They're not the prodigal that's actually guilty and feels no guilt. Luke 15, that's not them. They feel guilty about everything that the Lord has not set as a sin, they feel guilty about. So if you're trying to help this person, and if this is you, here's the key takeaway. This is your thought life. You're having to renew your thoughts that will lead to your compulsive actions. And where should you start? Start with God's attributes of mercy and His grace. Your vision of His wrath is too big. You have an imbalanced view of God. Your vision of His justice is too big. You have an imbalanced vision of who God is. We want you to see God accurately. Yes, He does hate sin, and yes, He is just, but He's also good. He's also gracious. He's also merciful. Your vision of God needs to be balanced with the Word of God. So inform your conscience with the Word of God and fight to believe what the Word of God says, no matter how you feel. Let me pray for you. Lord, I pray that those that are trapped in this compulsive behavior of trying to honor You would really be set free. For them, it must feel like a mirage that You have given us abundant life in John 10, or that we can have a peace Philippians 4, that passes all understanding, that's got to feel like a mirage. But you have called us to a life of joy in serving Christ. And although there are difficulties, that's what we want to do. It brings us delight. It's our ultimate joy and happiness to follow you. And I pray that those listening that are struggling with religious scrupulosity, that they would not give in to their tendencies and the hopelessness that comes from that, but they would trust your word no matter how they feel, so that you would be glorified and they would receive good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.